Citizenship in the World Requirement 2, explain how one becomes a citizen in the United States. The first part of this requirement is quite simply, how does one become a U.S. citizen? And there are two broad ways of doing this. The first is by birth, which includes either being born to a U.S. citizen parent or being born in a U.S. state or territory. To claim citizenship by either one of these methods, no action is required, with the possible exception of weird cases where you were born abroad to U.S. citizen parents and not properly registered with the U.S. consulate overseas. The second way is by law. You may seek to become one by naturalization, an administrative process that requires you to take some action and is strictly governed by the Immigration and Nationality Act. Very generally, you may not be a U.S. citizen if you, unless you are at least 18 years old and have a lawful permanent resident, meaning you have a green card, have resided continuously in the United States, and have been lawfully admitted for permanent residence for 5 years immediately prior to your application, that at no point had you been removed of that status, that you've resided in the United States at all times after your application to the time of your admission. You are a person of good moral character. Yes, I know that's broad. Have no outstanding deportation or removal orders. Have the ability to read, write, and speak and understand simple words and phrases in English. Have knowledge and understanding of the fundamentals of U.S. history and government. And are attached to and can support the principles of the U.S. Constitution and can swear allegiance to the United States. The second part of this requirement is explain the rights, duties, and obligations of U.S. citizenship. The main rights of American citizens are spelled out in the Constitution's original Bill of Rights. The freedom of religion and speech ensures that Americans have the right to worship as they choose and to develop their own belief systems. Additionally, freedom is extended to the press, which has the right to question the government openly. Citizens are permitted to assemble for a cause so long as no violence ensues, and they're also allowed to voice these views to their elected officials. The Second Amendment gives the right to keep and bear arms, to have firearms to use them if necessary. Next big one, the Fifth Amendment addresses legal issues, including the right to due process of law and freedom from self-incrimination. The Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendments expand upon the Fifth, adding the right to a speedy trial and to a trial by jury and freedom from cruel and unusual punishment, among other things. The right to privacy first came up in the Ninth Amendment, which applies to implications brought about by U.S. citizens having all otherwise unlisted rights. The most contentious issue over the course of the U.S.'s existence has been the right to vote, which made its first appearance in the 15th Amendment, where it was given this right to every man regardless of race or color. Later amendments made that right applicable to every citizen over the age of 18, to women, but it does not apply in certain cases, for instance, felons. The main duties of a citizen are listed in the Constitution, are largely implicit. They broadly expect that individuals should follow the letter of the law, follow their tax obligations, serve in the military if deemed necessary by act of war, and appear for jury duty when called. The explicit mention of the crime of treason, disloyalty, in the Constitution suggests that loyalty and patriotism must be a duty as well. The obligations of a citizen is a duty that implies legal responsibilities in response to rights guaranteed by the Constitution. Obligations imply moral responsibility to the country and fellow citizens in response to having the privileges of citizenship. These include, for instance, being a volunteer, addressing the special needs of your community, being a good neighbor, ensuring the safety and cleanliness of your neighborhood and workplace, being a good American by living the principles and values consistent with those implied in the Constitution, meaning integrity, self-discipline, proactivity, humanity, and empathy. The final part of this requirement is to discuss the similarities and differences between the rights, duties, and obligations of U.S. citizens and those of two other nations. The cases I will use here are going to be India and France. Now, you'll notice some consistent trends across all of them. For instance, both India and France give you a right to religion, although the allowance to express it is very much different. India grants an explicit right to express religion, where France only grants a right to privately exercise religion. as far as duties and obligations go, there are differences in the structure of how things like jury systems are constituted in France and in India. For instance, in France, one has a positive obligation during the course of a trial to become informed in the affairs of the trial, which you would notice is very much different than the way that it is done in the U.S. Another thing you will also notice when comparing foreign documents with the U.S. is an explicit requirement that the citizens further the goals of the nation. For instance, in India, there is a positive requirement that one maintain an attitude of ethnic integrity across the nation, meaning one has a positive expectation of being kind and polite and such to those of different races and backgrounds. India also has a positive statement that it is the duty of a citizen to generate creative works, which is something that is in no way spelled out in the U.S. Constitution. Compare this to France, where the duties and obligations include a much more explicit social component, but this is largely done through higher taxation, and there isn't so much as a cultural emphasis on, for instance, volunteerism, as may appear in the United States. So you're going to notice some general trends, especially democracies in the modern world are generally going to grant things like freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and such, but the way these are implemented are very much different. We gave the French example of limitations on the expression of religion in public square, India's requirement that one maintain cultural integrity and harmony, as well as differences that come out of, well, different backgrounds.